Tonight we're going to be looking at God's perfect law. Is there such a thing? Think about it. Is there such a thing as perfect law? Well, you know, you take this handout with you, take it home with you, and it will be a blessing as you study, because many people have not heard this. Now, tonight may be everyone here. You've heard it several different times. But I believe the Holy Spirit has something extra special for you, and for those who have not, it's something we should consider. It's something we should consider, because we hear almost every faith, every denomination saying God's law is done away with. You know, if that's really the truth, then I want to know it too, and I'm going to abide by that. But I'm going to have to be, it's going to be proven from Scripture that it is done away with. It either is binding or what? It's not binding. It's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. You can't, I'll do it this way, I'll do it the way. We have to do it God's way. And that's how we look at Scripture tonight. God's perfect law. The truth, it says, about the what? The Ten Commandments. We need the truth. All of us want truth. Truth is what sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It's truth in God's Word. We need that. You know, what would any think about tonight? What would any business do without laws, rules? What would any government do? You know, what would any of the schools do? What would a church? You have to have rules and regulations in order for things to work properly. And you know what? No one fights that. Isn't that interesting? No one fights the rules at the hospital, what you're supposed to, and you have them. You have rules at McDonald's as somebody. You have rules at, you know, Walmart. And no one really says anything about it. But when you say God has a set of, you know, rules, love little letters for you, 10 of them, that He wants us just to abide by to prove whether we're His or not. And oh no, we can't have that. We're free. Well, really, is that what the Bible teaches? I'm with you tonight, and if that is, I'm going to be changing my thinking. But if the Bible says otherwise, I want you to change your thinking. Does that make sense? Because God is always right. He's never in the wrong. So, you know, prisons tonight, prisons are full. Why are the prisons full? Think about this with me. Why is terrorism on the rampage? I mean, it's horrible right now. And we think about murder is on the upswing. Divorce is on the upswing. You know, about every two marriages, what? One of them ends up in divorce, about 50-50 or less now. It's a high rate. We have the threat of war. There's talk about the random shootings, drive-by shootings, premeditated shootings. Young people, 10, 12, 14 years of age, going into schools and shooting people in cold blood, calculated. What is wrong with our thinking? Something must be wrong. What are we taught at home? What are we taught in our church service? Think about it. These, I believe, are all symptoms. Think about all symptoms of rejecting God's perfect law. Are you still with me, church? These are symptoms. And we realize in hospitals or everything, there's symptoms that leads us to know what is wrong, and then we need to find a cure for that. So we have all these symptoms that says something is wrong. So how can tonight, how can imperfect man, do we agree that we're imperfect? Yes, we're human beings, aren't we? Imperfect human beings live harmonious, as it were, with God's perfect law. How can we harmonize with God's perfect law as we are imperfect? I think it's something we need to really look at closely from Scripture. Can we do it on our own, church? No, we cannot do it on our own, but there is good news. I love good news. I don't like bad news. I want to hear good things. But, you know, good news is God, Jesus provides the power that we can live up to the requirements. Whatever requirement He has set before us, He gives us the power that we can live. Do you believe that? Absolutely, we can live it. God's perfect law reveals God's perfect love. Do we believe that? God has perfect love for you and for me, for the whole world. And it's through Him, naturally. Perfect law. Jesus provides the power. I liked as I'm reading Scripture that Jesus provides the power for us to live, notice this, to live up to a standard far superior to our nature. Did we get that? Did it soak? He gives us the power to live up to a standard far superior to our natures. Because we realize we have what kind of a nature? Yeah. Broken, fallen nature, don't we? Because of sin, we need to be healed. Four areas quickly, we cover as fast as we can. I don't know why the clock moves so fast when I'm up here. I don't. It was a little slower when you were up here, honey. I didn't say it wasn't good. Is it all right for us to have a talk while you guys just go ahead and do something else? It always works that way. No, that was very good. You did a wonderful job, honey. But, you know, we have to battle sometime with time. And to preserve your strength and coming from night to night, we understand that. If not, you know, topics like this deserve several hours of a lot of study because there's so much to cover in here. But we're going to look at the nature of God's law. We need to look at the impact of God's law, the application of God's law, and then the conclusion. You know, I always like the conclusion. I am a guy who loves the bottom line. Tell me the way it's going to be, and I get it. Don't you? I don't want somebody beat around the bush. I want to know what it is. So as we deal with this subject tonight, please keep in mind, this is a passage of Scripture that I love in Psalms 19, verse 7. What does the Bible say again? Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is pretty good. The law of the Lord, it will do in a pinch. Is that what it says? The law of the Lord is take it or leave it. If we keep this in mind tonight, first of all, we get to the point of, for those who are saying it doesn't matter, it doesn't count, it's done away with, we've got problems right here if I end right now. Because the Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect. What can you do with perfect? Maybe because the world has pulled such shenanigans that we call imperfect things perfect. And they get a little confused, but God doesn't. Right here he said the law of the Lord is perfect, and notice what it does. The law of the Lord is perfect, so the law inside of us converts the soul. I don't know about you, I need to be converted, reconverted every day. That's good news. There's nothing wrong with that. Thank God that, you know, the door of probation is still open. We can still come. We'll talk a little more about that. But when it says converting, perfect, converting the soul, it's teaching the soul. It's directing the soul. Notice this. It's instrumental in healing the soul. It's doctrine of the soul. Do we need that? Yes, we do. We'll talk more about that as we go along here. I'll tell you, there was two men standing together, and they were looking at the base of a waterfall. You may have heard this. They were standing, and the waterfall wall was coming down. It was so very, very beautiful. And so as they were watching the water come down, all of a sudden something happened. Oh, I mean, it was all of a sudden the water begins to coming down. What was it doing? It reversed and started to go up. I've never seen a waterfall do that. And so one man said, "Do you see what I see?" The other one said, "Well, hey, don't get excited here." One man said, "Hey, ho, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard that the law of gravity has been done away with?" Does that make sense, my children? The law of what? The law of gravity has been done away with. Well, now just kind of stay with me here for just a little bit. Then as a man, he comes home from work, been working all day, and the wife has the table set really beautiful. He's excited. He's hungry as he could be. And he looks, but what he's looking, he looked at her, and all of a sudden she's shoveling down, as it were, a whole plate full of rat poison. Well, what would you do? Well, I pray you'd do something. He started to scream, "Honey, don't eat that. Don't eat that. Stop. Stop what you're doing." The wife said, "Haven't you heard, honey? My, you must be out of the loop today. You have heard." He said, "Haven't you heard? The laws of health says that you can eat poison and still live." Well, why? Because the laws of health have been done away with. See, nobody's going to fight that because you know they haven't been. And we know that water's not running uphill, isn't it? So, you know, you can think about that. The laws of nature, the laws of health are still in effect because God is still the same. Because God does not change. We know that. God makes no mistakes. So when he says something is perfect, we need to be careful in saying that it's imperfect or it doesn't count anymore. Don't put yourself in the place of God. Don't try to take him off the throne and sit in his place. The enemy tried that and he got thrown out. You think you're big in the britches, you're not too big. I'll tell you, when we start dealing with God, we need to be very careful how we deal. The Bible says in Psalms 33:9, I might have thrown that in, talking to my brother back there. I said, "I'm going to throw some things in tonight." He said, "Go ahead." Isn't that kind of the answer? Go ahead. Yeah. I like that. So it's a challenge. Psalms 33, 9, the Bible says, "For he speaks and it was," what? "It was done." Notice this, when God speaks, it's done. "He commanded and it stood fast." Psalms 33, 9. Okay, so it's not there, just write them down so that we can move quickly. So notice God here, and when he speaks the word and it's done. So that we're talking about, are there any changes? Is there a need for a change? Does God change? And we say, no, he speaks, you know, and then it's done. He commands and it stands fast. Now remember what he did in the Garden of Eden. You remember that? He allowed the old devil to come in to do what? To get in, as we'll say, he climbed one tree. But what did God do? He said, somebody stay with me. He said, you get in that tree and you stay in that tree, and don't you get out of that tree until I tell you to get out. Well, I'm sure that's how the devil understood it. Wasn't he told to stay in the one place? That's the only place he could go. So you kind of just let it run through your mind the way that would be. The enemy knew he couldn't get out. He knew he'd go. He had to have permission to go in there. The enemy knows who's the boss. It's sad that we don't. Nature knows who's the boss. Wildlife knows who's the boss. We don't. Everything else obeys God without question. In nature, the animal world, they obey. Human beings are the only one that question God and decide they don't have to do it. Many are teaching today that God's Ten Commandment law is just done away with. Think about it. God's law done away with. They say all Ten Commandments. Interesting, the ones that he decided that he would write with his own what? His own finger. He didn't leave it to the angels. He didn't leave it to anyone else. He didn't leave it to the prophets and said, let the prophets, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, they can. It was too important. And God said, I'm going to write them in stone because they need not be changed. I'm going to write them on the front and I'm going to write them on the back so there's no room for man to start fiddling around like he does. Somebody get that one? I read in the last book of the Bible, if anybody adds, right, or takes away from this, his name will be taken out of the book of life. We need to be careful what we're preaching and teaching. Make sure you know from the Word of God what truth is. Make sure you know. But they say, yeah, God wrote them with his own finger, but they've been done away with. Well, if this is true, is it now? I don't want to raise our hand, do we believe the law has been done away with? Because I'm going to come right back with you. I'm going to come back at you. Because we have to. If the Ten Commandment law is done away with, somebody tell me. If we say that it is it okay that I murder somebody? It's not, murder's not, is it okay to commit adultery? No, it's not. Is it okay to steal? Is it okay to lie? No, it's not at all. So how can we say it's done away with? It either is or it isn't. We can't pick and we can't just choose, you know, for our lifestyle. It either is or it isn't. We'll study more about that in the next lesson that we have. But remember, if you offend in one point, James 2:10, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You don't have to, if you offend in one point, I challenge you right now to go and really look it up. You have broken every one, not just that one, but they all relate down. You broke all 10. We don't want to break the law of God. It either is binding or it is not. So we're saying tonight, we can't kill, we can't steal, we can't do all these things. But we know we can't just live as we please. But I pray as a Christian, you do, because I think I have that freedom. I've often said, I do what I want to do. Paul said that in his writings, didn't he? I do what I want to do. I just choose by the grace of God not to do the wrong things. Perfect freedom in serving Jesus Christ. It is no kind of bondage at all. There's a question. Could there be a connection between the teaching that God's law is no longer in effect, as we talked about a while ago, the epidemic it is in portions of violence and immorality? Remember, it's being taught. It's not in effect. And so people have the tendency then to do what?
Yeah.
Just go right ahead and kind of do what they want to do because they don't believe there's any consequences. At home, I know that there were things I was supposed to do or not. There were consequences. If I disobeyed, there was consequences. There was a price to pay for it, and I knew that. And if I willingly did what I know I shouldn't have done, I knew what I was going to get. And you, same thing in the Word of God. And it's not like, oh, it's just a punishment on you. This is what God says. This is it. There's right, there's wrong, there's good, there's evil. We have to look these things over. How can we explain the explosion we talk about in the minds, how the minds of men are on evil continually? It reminds me so much in reading today about it at the time of the flood. You remember? Man's mind was what? On evil, that's Genesis 6:5, was on evil continually. I believe it's just that way today. How about you? It seems that though the world, the minds of the world, it's on evil continually. People can't even talk without using foul language and suggestions and all this stuff that goes on. You're almost afraid to talk to somebody. You're almost afraid to walk by them. Because they don't care where they're at, what's going on. If you have children, they're just going to say what they're going to say. Some of it's not very pleasing. Minds on evil continually. Man's wants, man's desires, no moral right and wrong. That's what man says. He wants love without any kind of law. He wants it to be a matter of your own conscience. Well, if it's not good for you, then don't do it. That's not biblical. You think about it, it's not biblical at all. If you like it, then you go ahead and do it. If you want it and it's not yours, go ahead and take it. That's what the world says. But is that what the Word of God says? I just wonder tonight, have we lost our sense of right and wrong? My dad said many times, Kenny, have you lost your marbles? I think that meant brains. Have you lost your sense? Have we lost our sense of direction, of right and wrong? Have we lost that moral compass? See, there's a compass. We have the compass. It lets us know right and wrong. Proverbs 28, verse 6 warns us. Notice this warning. Proverbs 28, verse 6. He that does what? Come on, church. Come on, wake up tonight. Let's go. He that what? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, strong words, but whosoever walketh wisely, he is what? He shall be delivered. Notice this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We need what? Outside help. We need help from above, don't we? It's not necessarily laying on somebody's couch and somebody trying to brainwash you. Somebody didn't get that one. Just let it slip on by and don't worry about it. When I say outside help, we know what that we need help from above, because it says right here, if we trust in our own heart, we're a fool. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's put this other passage with it, probably not in the one that you have with you, but I love Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, the Bible said, notice this, every word of what? Good. Of God is what? It's not pure. No, what does it say? Every word of God is what? Is pure. So why are we trying to make it impure? Why are we saying God doesn't know what He's doing? The Bible is clear here over and over. We could do dozens and dozens of passages of Scripture. Every word of God is pure. Every word that proceeds Matthew 4:4 out, right? Of the mouth of God is for us. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every word right here is true. Notice this. How wonderful that is. It's pure. It's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. I need a shield. How about you? I need to ward off the old devil, because I know he's coming after me. I know he's coming after you. The old people say, oh, we're scared. I don't want to talk about that. Well, we need to. He has a plan. While you're sleeping, He has a plan for you. He knows as soon as you get up, He's had a plan laid during the night, and He's going to say, I think I see a little weakness here. I see him get a little out of hand over here, and I've seen him say and do this right here. He has a plan, but we have served one who has a greater plan for us. We don't have to fall in his Mickey Mouse traps. Are you still with me? We don't have to fall in those. Sometimes we willfully step into those. Every word. When Adam and Eve sinned, let's think about it quickly. When Adam and Eve sinned, the image of God was marred. Now, what do we mean by that? The image of man was what? Marred. Man was created how? We know it's perfect. Why? Because he was made in the what? In the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It tells me that man was made in the image of God. God loves mankind. He made us into his image. How wonderful. And then Adam and Eve came along. They were perfect when he made them. Think about it. But then sin came, and what happened? It marred their characters. Think about it, their nature. Their nature changed from righteous to unrighteous because they made how many wrong choices? We know it's recorded one. We think we're going to make it to heaven with all kind of wrongs in our life. Are you still with me? Heaven was cast, a devil was cast out of heaven because he made a wrong choice. He said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be above God. So we need to be very careful. It's very, very important that one area in our life that doesn't harmonize with Scripture, we need to come to God. Why not? Why not? It's simple, isn't it? He paid a big price for it. But it's simple for us right now where probation door is still open to say, Lord, I tell you, I failed you right here. Please forgive me. He says, good, I do forgive you. Wonderful. Now let's go on. What a God that we serve. Powerful God. Nature changed. The heart became desperately wicked. Think about it. They changed completely because they made one wrong choice. And I submit to you tonight, if you make one wrong choice, it can change your whole life. It can change everything. Have you ever thought about that? I know you've rehearsed, over the years. What if I'd made this decision? If you'd made one other decision than you had, you wouldn't have the companion that you have. You wouldn't have the children that you have made. You see what I'm saying? They may be different, but not what you have right now. Your job, everything you think about comes into play here. We need to be careful about every decision that we make, that God would be happy with that. The book of Hosea, chapter 8, verse 7. Give some wonderful instruction because, again, we're figuring out and laying out what happened really and has taken place and why man is like he is and the changes that need to be to take place. It explains this. The Bible describes the source of our problem because we talked about before we have to discover what? The source of it. We have to admit there's a problem and then we're willing to have some correction, okay? He describes the source of the problem. He says, for they have sown what? They have sown the wind. Think about that. And that's just talking about maybe the tempest. That's talking about vanity and the translation. It's talking about things of the world. But notice what happens. I'm just going to skip down. They shall reap the whirlwind. The whirlwind is different than the wind. Did you get it? The whirlwind talking about they sowed a little bit over here, but they're going to reap a hurricane. That's a lot different to a hurricane than just a little wind blowing the nape of your neck. Isn't it? Sure it is. God said that's what happened. We think that it's not going to hurt anybody. We think it doesn't make any difference. But boy, when it comes back, look out what's going to happen. God's warning us. We reap what we sow or what we've been a part of. The Bible is very clear on that. We know, probably not in here, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Good. All right. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Think about it. This is the way that it is. This is how we're going to be judged. Interesting. Look at what's being sowed what's being sown today in the media. It's almost sinful to have a television set. And if you can't control it, you ought to get rid of it. Not to be like a cousin of mine every 6 months, every year, I'll talk about, stay with me, church. He started getting religion. And every time he started getting a little bit of religion, he went into the house and got the TV set, opened the door and he threw it outside and said, I'll tell you, that'll do it. Nobody's watching TV. He didn't ask anybody in the house. He didn't ask the wife, whatever else. He decided that he's going to throw it out. And a few months later, he's back buying a bigger one and better one than he had before. Somebody, you're not with me. But invariably, a few months later, there it goes again. Man. Well, it's good to throw those things out if you can't. He just said, I can't control it. Well, it's better if you can't control it to certainly get rid of it. Absolutely. But when we look at this things that's being sown there in the media, you know, it's glorifying adultery. It's glorifying divorce. It's glorifying teen pregnancies. It's glorifying smoking. It is glorifying drinking. It's glorifying drugs and bad language and robbing banks and killing people. We think that's normal. Why do you think these young people are doing what they're doing? The things that we used to settle with our fists, they settle with guns now. I don't know about you, them being in the older school, as it were. We fought a lot. Okay, just go on. Some of you don't get it. Years ago, that's what you did. But let me tell you, you could fight, and some of them would be your best friends. You'd fight, you'd have a good fight, one of you would win. The next day, you'd play basketball together. That's like, you know, a little child shall lead. That's the way that it should be. Young folks here, there wasn't grudges. There wasn't, I'll get even with you. It's just, my brother can tell the story sometime. We were home, and a young man came up. He's pretty big for his age, and he come and talked to my brother, Danny. He said, Brother, Danny, is Kenny home? And he said, yeah, he's in the house. He said, go get him. He said, what for? He said, well, I'm going to whip him. Yeah, I'm going to whip him. Danny said, you sure you want him to come out? He said, well, yeah, I'm bigger than he is, a little older than he is, and it would be look good at school if I whip him. Then he said, come on out, Kenny. Somebody wants to whip you. Well, I wasn't no fighting mood. Somebody, well, you kind of got to be in a fighting mood. His name was Richard. He said, Richard, and I walked out. I said, Richard, what could I do for you, friend? He said, I came to beat you up. Well, that did nothing to light my fuse right then. I said, have at it, brother. Now, we don't do that now, right, as a child of God. But I'm telling you, God can change. He can change a person. Well, it didn't last too long, and so he left a sad boy. All right. Is it all right to leave it at that? Why? Because we were used to that. That's what we did. Yeah. But it wasn't with knives and guns the way that it is today. We didn't see all that junk on TV. This is the way you settle issues. Television glorifying things that we don't want to deal with, such as coming out of the closet. Man, if you're in the closet, stay in there till you find Jesus and then come out. I don't know if anybody's getting that or not, but that's a fact. Some of you get it, some of you won't. Other people get your feelings hurt. Well, I can't really help that. The Bible condemns that kind of lifestyle. It's the way it is. So my suggestion is stay in there on your knees, and God can give you the victory. Then you come on out, and then you be a blessing rather than a curse. We live in a country, same-sex marriage. Now, this all has to do, believe it or not, we're talking about the law here, the perfect law of God. This is what we have to deal with. Because we have not elevated the standard of righteousness, God's Ten Commandment law. People don't realize this. Same-sex marriages. And then we have this gender, transgender thing. I mean, I feel bad about that. That we're so confused that we can't make up our mind which bathroom we're supposed to go in. Well, isn't that the truth? See, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody or make light of anything, but listen, that's part of what we're dealing with. Yes, oh, you have the, oh, God loves them. Yes, He loved them. Yes, He died on the cross for them, but they have to accept His terms. Are you still with me? We have to accept God's terms in order to inherit eternal life. And God says, none of that. I may not be too much, but I guarantee you when I go to the restroom, I'll find the boys. I know the difference. But when the world is so confused to say, I don't know what I am. If there be somebody here tonight, however you were born, that's the bathroom you go into. Is that all right? Oh, I know you didn't want to hear it. It's all right. It's the truth. But remember, if our minds are confused, we say we don't know, God can take that mind and straighten it right out. That's the good thing. He can give us victory over anything. That's the good news. The Bible said in Psalms 111, verse 7, 8, because we're looking for that we need a revolution. We need a change going on. We don't need a revolution in society. We need a revolution in the human heart. This is where it's at. The change needs to be. Pass all the laws you want. We need a change in the heart and in the life. Psalms 111, 7, 8 describes the standard of right doing and righteousness. Notice, the Bible said the works of His hand are what? Are verity. What does that mean? Whoa, praise God. It said the works of His hand are, that word translated is mighty. The works of His hand are what? They're mighty. God can do great things. Notice that. And justice. Now, all of what? All of His commandments are sure. They stand fast. How long? Forever and ever. And here's how the commandments are done in truth and what? Uprightness. How are you going to change that? How are you going to do away with that? How are you going to justify that? How can I justify it? I'm trying to look at it openly and honestly, because if it's not, why am I doing it? It's certainly not because, we'll study a little bit later, hopefully we have time. It's not because it's going to save you. People say, oh, you believe in it, keep the law, it's going to save you. The law doesn't save you. The law will never save you. The law does its function. It points out what sin is in Romans 3:20. That's all that it does. It points out what sin is, and when I point it out in my life, it drives me to the Savior because I need some help. I see I'm in trouble. I see I'm going down the tube. I'm in quicksand. You know, God, help me. I need some help. So what would you do when you say that the law is not binding? We've done away with the law. Well, what's going to point out sin? What is sin? Sin is 1 John 3:4. Sin is a transgression of God's law. We need some help. Bible said where there is no sin, no law, there is what? No transgression. Where there is no what? Where there is no law, there is no transgression. If that be so, then we can do anything we want to do. Have at it, brothers and sisters. Have at it. You've been aching and longing to do some of the stuff. If there is no law, if it's not binding, have at it. We know better. The Bible just said simply here, right here, they stand fast. All of His commandments. Did that say nine? Did that say eight? All of them. God's commandments stand fast forever. They're not just given to some ancient generation. You know that. I know that. They are for all people in all ages. They were made for man and not man. Did you see it? He made man for the Sabbath. So we're going to be talking about more of that the next time we come together. But again, as we go back to Psalms 19, verse 7, Psalms 19, verse 7. Again, say it with me. The Lord what? The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. That means it is sound. The law of the Lord is without blemish. The law of the Lord is complete. That's what it means. The law of the Lord is truth. The law of the Lord is undefiled. It needs no change. That's pretty simple, isn't it? When you get down, that's pretty simple to me. This is what I need. I have a simple mind. It's all right. Society, as well as many Christians today, bless their heart, honest certainly in their heart and in their life. But what is wrong? Do we not read the same Bible? People say, well, we never heard of this. Well, Lord have mercy, why haven't we heard? I'm not trying to be arrogant about it or ugly, but that's what crosses my mind. How could we not hear about Ten Commandment law? Because many of the preachers and teachers are saying it's done away with. Don't you worry about it. Well, if it's done away with, like I said, have at it. But we know that it's not. They want to cast off the law and cast off all restraints. You know, it's estimated. Man made an estimate, and I don't know where it came from. I read it one time. He said there are 35 million laws passed to control human behavior. 35 million, brother. 35 million, and what? We're in worse shape than we've ever been in the history of this world. When Jesus came to this earth, that was the lowest time when He came. And I believe we've sunk lower than ever before. Why? Because my Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse until the coming of Jesus. I'd like to say it's going to be better. I'd like to say, oh, there'll be 1,000 years of this, and oh, there'll be 7 years of this. That's prophecy taken out of its context. We have to study the Word of God. Now is the time to do that. 35 million laws to control human behavior, but God pins it in just 10. 10 little simple things. If you do these things, you're going to be happy. If you don't, there's a price to pay. It's simple. He doesn't want to do that. It's against His character. But still yet, He loves us, and we have to be tested. You plan on repopulating heaven, don't you? Then that means you have to be what? Like the angels of heaven. I don't see that I'm like the angels of heaven. I say, oh God, I need some, have mercy. Have mercy, I need some help. We need to be obedient. It's just 10 little, if they're obeyed, they will cover, and you read just those 10, they will cover every aspect of your life. There's not anything that you can say, well, this is not covered by the 10 commandments. Only God can do that. That the only God could pin 10 things right. They've done 35 million. They haven't hit it yet. But really, every aspect, think about it, every aspect of your life, everything you can think of, anything that goes on, anything that's done right here, they're covered in the 10 that God said because He knows what He's doing. So why would He say, well, it's rejected? Why would He say it's done away with? He doesn't. Because God's law simply defines right and wrong. Man, I need that. And you know what? He defines right and wrong, and He doesn't ask my opinion or your opinion. Is it all right to throw that one out? He doesn't ask my opinion about it. He doesn't need to. Job tried to butt in, and God set him straight. Did He not? Where were you, Job? You know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what He'd tell me. Don't even start. God wrote the code of ethics. Yes, He did. He wouldn't allow, as we talk about, anyone else to do it. Yeah, I tell you, does heaven have laws? Heaven has rules and certainly has laws. Heaven wouldn't be heaven without some rules, right? Order, things done in order. We know that because, you know, God is a God of order, is He not? Everything is run. Everything that He's created and put out there, there's rules, laws that regulate them. And so we have to look at it very closely. But now we look at the enemy quickly tonight. 10 minutes or so. I'm trying to fudge just a little bit. I'm trying not to look. You see, I close my eye and turn my head. But you know what? I can close my eye and turn my head all I want. But the clock still says what it says. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You close your eyes all you want. The Ten Commandments are still going to be there when you open them. You might try to erase them, but you can't erase it. You're not big enough to erase them. I'm not big enough to erase them. I don't want to erase them because it just tells me where I've failed. That's all. Man, enemy hates God. He hates all that God stands for. He rejected God's authority. Think about rejecting God's authority. And what did he do? Same thing that the world's doing today. He set his opinion above the commands of God. Notice the enemy set up his opinion. You study the Bible with somebody, just don't give them your opinion because your opinion doesn't amount to anything just like mine doesn't. Really? Everybody said, this is my opinion. Study with someone said, God says. The Word says here. If you want to harmonize with this, this is beautiful. If you don't, the choice is yours. You don't have to. Satan led the rebellion in heaven. He's led the rebellion here on earth. We know that. He was telling the angels how, you know, it's not necessary to obey God. We know that. And he must have been pretty persuasive because he persuaded a third of them to follow him. And that just blows my mind to think about how he did it to persuade angels who are in the very presence of God. They watched God create. Yeah, they watched God in action. They knew Him. Wow, and they still made the wrong choice. Must have sounded awful good. But they were cast out of heaven, Revelation 12:4 says. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, that's probably another one thrown in there. It said, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them where? To the earth. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, only a remnant is going to exist before Jesus comes. And I'm very convinced that it's going to be a remnant within a remnant. Somebody needs to stay with me. You don't like those words. But we need to think about these things. John speaks about that last day remnant when he talks about they are in Revelation 12, 17. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. The dragon was wroth with the woman. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Not who's breaking them, not who's throwing them out, who said they don't exist. The devil is especially mad of those who by God's grace want to keep those commandments. God can give us that grace. John was speaking of those who overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. It gives me hope and encouragement. How can we be an overcomer? We know it's by the blood of the Lamb, but let me just encourage you, my church family. Let me encourage you with this. We can be an overcomer by helping other people overcome. Come on now. By working with other people, giving Bible studies, showing Jesus to them, opening up the pages of life. We can be an overcomer because what? It feeds us many times more than it does feed the other person. I've been fed every study I've ever given. I've been fed more than the other person, I'm sure. It's drawn me closer to Jesus because I was learning. I wanted to learn. I wanted to study. I wanted to be ready for it. By God's grace, we're able to overcome by keeping the commandments of God. And when you do that, all of a sudden you find there's yielding a spirit, a good spirit of obedience. We need that desperately. We'll follow the Lamb. We're just not going to have time to get anywhere. I want to follow the Lamb. I don't know about you. I want to follow the Lamb, but I've got this in my head. We follow the Lamb in the courts above. Does it make sense? If we follow the Lamb there, it's only if we follow Him here. Does that make sense? If we're following the Lamb in heaven, where the Lamb goes, we may follow Him. We have to start by following Him here. That makes sense to me. And following the Lamb in heaven depends on our keeping, by God's grace, His commandments now. Not later, now. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Don't try to judge everybody else by you and me. We have to choose to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Adam and Eve sinned. They lost their Eden home, we know. They chose another leader. They decided that God wasn't good enough, that they needed another leader. They placed themselves above God. They broke their relationship with their Creator. And we'll make a point before we only one, and I've got 20 other ones that need to be made because we need to look that it makes a difference, a big difference, to attack some of the questions that many people have. So certainly we're willing to stay as long as we need to if there's more questions that we need to answer. But we realize some people say, well, there was no law before what? Before Mount Sinai. Isn't that right? People say that? Well, the only time law came in is with Mount Sinai. You know, is that really the truth? Huh? Before that, God had written them on their hearts and in their mind, didn't it? He walked with the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve, and he told them these things. Oh, I tell you, but we know what's happened. Let's prove that there was a law, at least in principle, before they were written on stone. Does that make sense? Let's do that. Let me ask you this. Was it wrong, and I same one, is it wrong? Was it wrong to steal, kill, and commit adultery before Sinai? Ah! No, it couldn't possibly be because there was no law. Now, let me mess with you. See, we say automatically, oh, well, no, you can't do that. Well, you remember, what did Cain do to his brother? Ah, Cain killed Abel. Was it a sin before Sinai to kill someone? Absolutely it was. then it was wrong before the Ten Commandments given at Sinai. In fact, Genesis 4:7 said, God spoke to Cain, "If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." He was calling something sin. There was no Ten Commandment law written on stone yet. God said, then sin lies at your door. So they had to know the law of God had to be in operation. Because he said, your brother's blood's crying out from the ground. You killed him. Because the Bible said in Romans 4, verse 15, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So there couldn't have been any transgression when Cain killed Abel if there was no law. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible said. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. I'm not talking about written on stone yet. I'm talking about was general principles of known of the law, that this is the way we deal with God, this is the way we deal with our fellow man. Webster's Dictionary even talks about the transgression as breaking or violating the law of God. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression of God's law. Try to wrap it up a couple of minutes. Believe me. I've heard it said, you know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off and sets it up here? It means nothing. 1 John 3:4. Did you get that, church? He means well. Brother Danny, I mean well, but boy, I'm telling you, I'm getting wound up. I want to do another service. That's all there is to it. Sin is a transgression of God's what? Law. Sin's breaking the law. It's rejecting His authority. Let me just touch one more person. Everybody talks about Abraham, father of the faithful. We should. How wonderful. Abraham, Genesis 26:5 said, because Abraham obeyed what? My voice. He kept my charge and what? My commandments, my statutes, and my law. That just covers it all. Abraham, he said, kept these things. If they were not known, how could Abraham keep them? Does that make sense? This was before. Think about it with me. I need three yeses from you. Good, honey. But now I want three more, but listen to the question. But I need strong yes. Listen, oh boy. Was Abraham a commandment keeper? Yes or no? He was a commandment keeper. Did he live before Moses? Yes. Did he live before Sinai? Yes. Interesting, huh? Cain killed Abel that we talked about. Did he or did he not? Yes. And we must remember, when we talk about there, they say, well, you know, this commandments, they're made for the Jews. You've heard that. Sabbath and so on is for the Jews and so on. Huh? Remember, there were no Jews on the earth at the time of Abraham. Yet Abraham kept the commandments. So it must be more than just a group, or it's just for these people, or it's just... Oh. How could he keep something that wasn't known? In the Old Testament, God's law was the standard of right and wrong. What about the New Testament? Can we say tonight and just make it hurry right on there? But did Jesus came to this earth, did He come to destroy the law? People say, oh no, He came to fulfill. We need to look up these meanings, what it says. It means what fills up the law. He came to make it right. He came to live it out in His life. It doesn't mean do away with it. Sometimes when you read the Bible, you know, if you read one passage of Scripture, it said Christ is the end of the law. You look up what end means in our language. We look at what it means today. It doesn't mean what we think. He's the end of the law. He said Christ is that which fills up, that which is in it. Not brought an end to it. It's a matter of studying the Bible and looking at it the way God would have us to do it. Some people say, well, the law was nailed to the cross. You remember that? That's preposterous. The only thing that was nailed to the cross was the ceremonial law. That's where we become so confused in the world today. We don't know the difference between the ceremonial laws and the moral law of God. That's the only thing. You can find that in Colossians 2. People say, well, you don't know Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Yes, I do. You say, you don't know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Yes, I do. And those refer to the ceremonial laws, not God's Ten Commandment law. If we get it straight, it's easy, because it goes on to say that what was nailed to the cross was the law of ordinances. We just have to finish reading the passage. it becomes very clear. Is that right? At the cross, the ceremonial system of sacrifice came to an end. Well, we need to come to an end. I need to come to an end. I made it clear that we are not saved by keeping the law. Is that right, church? You're not saved. So don't go get high and holy and mighty. Say, well, we believe in keeping the law, Tim. The law does not save anyone. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. Remember that. There's not two plans of salvation. You see, in the Old Testament, you know, you think about, you know, Noah. Bible said there was no grace. Grace is in the New Testament. You ever heard that? Right? Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, it said, what? Noah found grace. Huh. Grace was instituted the moment sin came in the Garden of Eden, did it not? Or they would have been destroyed. So we have to look at the reality of this. You know, as we look, for instance, as we close, seriously, we get to heaven. Woo, glory, hallelujah. We get to heaven, and you're going to say, boy, I've been wanting to talk to Moses. Woo, I'd like to talk to Job. Man, what a mess that man went through. Huh. Boy, I'd love to talk to Daniel. See if those old lions were licking their chops. See if they were hungry. We want to talk to them. Now, what are they going to say? What's Moses, Job, and Daniel? And you say, well, I want to talk to Paul. You might want to say, well, how did you get here? How did you get here? Is Moses and Job and all the Old Testament said, we got here by keeping the law. And you talk to Paul, he say, stop. We're here by grace. No, there's not going to be two ways. We're, you know, two methods of salvation. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I need that grace. That grace leads to obedience. If you are thanking God for His grace, you know what? It does lead to obedience. You thank Him. You talk about your life. I talk about my life. You know, those who have had a pretty rough life, you know, they've a lot of sins. They love a lot, don't they? Brother Danny, we talked about that. Your life has been rough and you need a lot of forgiveness. But you know, those who need a lot of forgiveness, they love more. Rather than sit back and say, I don't need much. I need all the blood. I need blood. Tonight, what little we covered, would we say, if we could just take a vote? Be careful how you vote, because I'll be glad to stay here another hour. My wife already threatened you once. I've tried again myself. Could we say that we believe, talking about God's perfect law, that just simply the Ten Commandment law is still in existence? It's still binding. If you believe it, please come to your feet if you believe that. If not, we'll be glad to spend more time with you and talk more about this, because I think it's such an important. Because remember, what's the function of the law? Points out what sin is. And boy, I need that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Ten Commandment law, honey, is still binding.
Yes.
Because it points out sin and drives us to the Savior.
You know, you mentioned that the law does not save us. We're saved by grace, yes, through faith. And when you said that, it reminded me of Jesus, because you pointed out, oh, if I could talk to this one, talk to that.
Yeah.
What would Jesus say? What did He say?
Yeah.
One of my mother's favorite verses, John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me,
do what, church?
Keep.
Break them.
My
do away with them. Null and void.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Yes. And I think everybody here has understood that. Everybody's on their feet. That's good. We're on the same page together, because we're on the page right here of this book. We're headed in the right direction. Praise God for that. We're going to pray for you tonight, and I want you to be praying for us as we close, that we will continue on this road. The people will continue to come. You will continue to come. This needs to keep growing. This may be your only chance or my only chance to make heaven my home. You may not get another chance. You may be a motorcycle rider and find yourself underneath the bottom of a semi-truck or something. You know what I mean? Car accident. Or feeling good, as it were, pretty good one day, you know, and your whole life just changes like that.